Romans chapter number 7. So good to see you here this evening. I appreciate the good day the Lord's given us. I've been wanting to try to teach this passage that God has allowed me to study this evening, and I sure hope I don't cripple it up. I hope I can be a blessing to you tonight. We sure do need to be taught in the Word of God. I love singing. Thank God for singing. Amen. And I love old-time singing. I don't see no reason to change and try to go no place in a different type of singing. Thank God to sing out of our hearts unto the Lord. And I like the songs of that old red-back hymnal. Thank God we're teaching our children about the blood tonight. Oh, I'm so glad that you're raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, we need something we can feed on through the week. And we need the Word of God in our lives and in our spirits. Paul's writing now, and he says in Romans 7 and verse number 15. I'm glad he wrote this down. It gives me a lot of positives tonight about my Christian life. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Boy, that speaks volumes to me. You ever wonder sometimes you don't want to do it, but you find yourself doing it? Am I the only one that's ever got around the altar and said, God, I won't do that again, done it again? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, and that's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, Lord, have mercy, I'm struggling with this flesh. For the good that I would, I do not. I got a lot of good intentions. But you know, intentions don't do much for us or nobody else. Matter of fact, the least deed is better than the largest intention. He said, now if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Thank you for standing tonight. I'm interested in verse number 24 where Paul says, O wretched man that I am. Matter of fact, I don't have to look around and say, oh, wretched man that you are. All I got to do is look down inside of this suit coat tonight. And so, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, I want to remind you something about this Bible character. He's not just an ordinary run-of-the-mill Christian. And this is a man that's writing that says, be ye therefore followers of me, as I am also of Christ. Isn't that amazing? He said, boys, if you'll just put a trail in behind me, said, you'll be all right. Anybody want to stand up and make that statement tonight? I realize great responsibilities laid on me for the pastor. And I don't have a license to sin tonight. But I declare, folk, I find a war going in my bosom. I find things that I want to do, I don't do it. And the things I don't want to do, I declare I find myself a doing. I'm going to preach on tonight, oh wretched man that I am. This word, wretched, it's a Bible word. It means one exhausted from a battle. Means one that's crying of overload, or one that's wore out. Oh, wretched man. He said, boy, I'm so tired of this battle. I'm so tired of being exhausted over this flesh. He said, I am just tired, oh man that I am. Tonight, Paul knew he had a divine deliverance from the penalty of sin. Paul was a saved man. My goodness, in Acts chapter 9, we find him on the Damascus Road. He's a man in his own business. He was one of the greatest persecutors that was ever on the face of our Bible. And you know, that's what law will do. It'll just persecute you. But I'm glad that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh my, I'm glad Paul got saved. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad he had a lifestyle that was, I mean, the I was dotted and the T was crossed, and nobody knew the law better than Paul. He was raised at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest lawgivers of the century. I mean, he knew it inside and out, and this thing of the law was driving him crazy. Matter of fact, he thought he was doing God a great privilege going and bringing people out of the meeting house the way we are tonight, taking them back to Jerusalem and beat them and try them for denying the works of the law. But God come to him and taught him something about grace. Now, Paul's writing as a saved man. He had a divine deliverance from the penalty of sin. Aren't you glad you've been saved from the penalty of sin? Only Calvary can do that tonight. Young people, only the blood of Jesus that's just singing about can do that for you this evening. Paul had a divine deliverance from the penalty of sin, and Paul knew that one day he'd have a definite deliverance from the presence of sin. I'm glad we're going to heaven when there's no more sin. Can I get a witness tonight? Boy, won't it be what a great blessing to go to a heaven where there is no more sin, no more flesh, no more devil. But Paul's problem was he needed a daily deliverance from the power of sin. You know, that's our fault. You know, I really believe that if we all just sat in the choir and we sat here Monday through next Sunday morning, we blame a lot of things on the world, but we got enough stuff in us to send us to hell just about what we'd think in the choir. You know, we think, well, if we could just all be saved, turn this thing into a compound and never leave and be a cult like the community thinks we are. Say, man, we wouldn't have no problems. But I don't know about y'all. I mean, I'd have a problem if I was sleeping on the pulpit 7 days a week. Because I got something that this Spirit's a living in that's not saved tonight. And that is the flesh that I was born with and I'll die with. But thank God I'll lay it down one day. Paul said, oh, wretched man I am. He had a divine deliverance from the penalty of sin. And he knew one day he'd have a definite deliverance from the presence. But now he needed a daily deliverance from the power of sin. Does anybody tonight need a daily deliverance from the power of sin? I want to say, first of all, Paul speaking as a saved man. Paul was devoted to the Lord. In verse number 12, you'll find that he loved the light. You see, the Bible said in Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, and it's just and good. And then Paul in verse 22, he loved the law. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And then in verse 25, he loved the Lord. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Now Paul was devoted to the Lord. He was a saved man. But number two tonight, not only was Paul devoted to the Lord, but Paul was disgusted by his life. He said, oh wretched man. He said, I ain't going to talk about you. He said, I got enough about me to talk about. Matter of fact, I don't know why we'd talk about anybody. I mean, why ourselves would fill the choir book up. He is disgusted by his life. You ever been disgusted by your life? I mean, really, I live with one of the best women God ever created. And I believe, I'm not just trying to get points up here tonight. But I'm going to tell you, folks, I married a good woman. And I'm amazed sometimes at just things I say to my wife. You know, I know none of you don't, but I do. And God's blessed me with such wonderful children. And sometimes I find my mouth, isn't it amazing, Brother David, how we love those that's the closest to us? Brother Randall amazes me how I can be kind to a rank stranger and hurt them that I love the most. Paul was disgusted by his life. He said, "Oh, wretched man." Even though he was saved, he was sad. And even though he was saved, he was sad, he was not satisfied. Hey, we better realize, honey, that we've not arrived in this Christian walk of life. You better be careful to quit throwing rocks and pointing fingers tonight, honey. Hey, before long, it'll be down where you live and where you're camping out and your children and your job and your situation and your ministry tonight. Be careful what you say. Paul was disgusted by his life, and oh, we better not be satisfied about this thing of how that this flesh bothers us. Now I'm going to say this in verse 18. He wasn't disgusted because he wasn't trying. Some people just don't try. In verse 18, or some people just really don't care. He says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me." He said, "I got a will to do right." He said, "But how to perform that which is good?" He said, "I ain't found it out yet." And you know what he said, just old country boy, bowing binocular? He said, "Inside of me wants to mind God, wants to walk with God, wants to be right with God. But," he said, "I ain't found the way out of here yet." Boy, I'm glad he told me that. Thank God for honest preachers. Boy, what if you had an old dry-eyed preacher tonight, had a tie pulled up around his ears, and told you, said, "Ha! Just mind the Lord. You won't have no problems with the flesh." The greatest preacher in the Bible beside the Lord Jesus had a ton of trouble with his flesh. And so Paul was disgusted not because he wasn't trying. That was his biggest problem. He is trying too hard. Paul was disgusted by his life. You see, he had eyes that he found out that would look with lust. And he had found out he had a tongue that loved to gossip. And he had ears, he found out, that would love to strain to listen to impurities and things that only cause us confusion and bad thoughts. You ever notice how your flesh loves filth? He was disgusted by his life. He was devoted to the Lord. But thirdly, Paul's writing, he's defeated by the law. He said, "This law is killing me." He said, "It's defeated me." He said, he said, "Great glory, this law has defeated me." Now, look at his biggest problem. It's mine and yours biggest problem on living to the law and living this Christian. I hear a lot of people saying, "Well, I'm not going to be a Christian because I can't live it." You know, they're right about that. You can't live it by the law. Look what he says, one of his biggest issues now. He's devoted to the Lord, he's disgusted by his life, but he's defeated by the law. Look at his biggest obstacle, verse 15, Romans 7. "That which I," there it is in capital letters, "that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 18, "I." He said, "I know that in me." And then he says in verse 18, "How to perform that which is good, I find not." Verse 19, I mean, it just keeps pouring it on, don't it? "I would, I do not. I would not that I do." Now if I'm tired already. I mean, I'm give out about him. And so he's got an eye problem. Verse 21, "I find then a law that I do good." He said in verse 22, he said, I delight in the law. 23, I see another law. Hey, he found out that the law wasn't the problem. He was the problem. You see, it's not God's law that is wrong. It's us that's wrong. And so he was defeated by God's law. His biggest obstacle was I, some 24 times. Secondly, is his other second problem comes to the equation is the word law. Big second problem. And you see, me and the law is a recipe for failure. You and the law is a recipe for failure. All I ever heard in the Church of Christ Church as a young kid, do, 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 do. No wonder I hated church. Do, do, do. I mean, that's all I heard. They know a whole lot about the law, but nothing about the grace of God. Do, do, do. So Paul was defeated by God's law. Now, let me ask you something. The Christian life is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not following rules and policies and obeying laws. Law was given that sin might be exposed. You understand why God gave the law tonight? God didn't give the law to get you to heaven. God gave us the law to expose sin. Look in verse number 7 of Romans 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known but lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He said, you know what? He said, the law exposes sin. And when we start reading the Ten Commandments, it exposes just really how wicked we are. And so the law was a schoolmaster, Paul said. And so it's a mirror. It reflects to us just really how unworthy and how incapable that we are. I'll give you one that's a great one. I was going to preach out of there this morning. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. There's a lawyer stood up and he said, hey, Lord, he said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And you know what? Jesus throws something right back in his face. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he tried to justify his sin. He said, well, who's my neighbor? Sound like me and you, you know, try to justify our sin. Well, you know, my mama's been doing it for years. You know it's all right. Your mama may be wrong for years. But you see, the law was given that sin might be exposed. Hey, love your neighbor as yourself. Time out. Anybody got anybody joins your driveway, say amen tonight. When's the last time you loved your neighbor as yourself? That not there put me in hell. I got some neighbors that I just don't care a lot about loving like myself. Now I can tell y'all all got a bunch of them that you love like yourself, but I got some of them I don't care about like myself. I buy myself a 2-piece suit. I ain't bought their neighbor one yet. I got a nice 4-wheeler. I ain't bought my neighbor's one. Don't look down. We preaching. We ain't praying. Love your neighbor as yourself. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God gave the law to expose sin. Showed me just how wicked I really was. And not only did he give law to that we see that sin might be exposed, but you know something, we look pretty good when we match up to ourselves. I mean, let's think about it now. Let me throw me on out there a minute. I'm full-time ministry. I try my best to pray every morning. I try my best, Brother Gerald, to pray through the day and times at night. Man, I'm doing pretty good in this prayer thing. try to read my Bible every day, try to get a thought. Brother Mike, I try to keep myself pure. I try to do right, stay filled with the Holy Ghost. I try to pray for a lot of y'all. And according to some of y'all, I'm a pretty good pattern. I mean, I do. I look pretty good to some of you, don't I? Because some of you rednecks ain't prayed all week. But you know something? It's sort of like this woman. She washed her sheets and they looked real good hanging on the line, but something happened. A snow fell and that fresh driven snow just showed her how dirty them sheets really was. And so I may look pretty good to you tonight, but honey, when I got the law behind me, I look pretty filthy tonight. Anybody ever got a problem with the white shirts turning yellow around the collar? Oh, now we're going to get real spiritual. Renee say, well, if you get you a bath cloth and wash that neck. I say, honey, it's clean. It's what's on the inside's causing me a problem. This old shirt looks pretty good lying button. It lets you see the inside of it. So sin, we see law, it exposes sin. And in this is what amazes me tonight. Brother Gerald, not only the law was given that sin might be exposed, but you'll notice that not only does it expose sin, it excites sin. Oh yeah, look at verse number 9. It excites sin. He said, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. And I died. And now what are you saying, preacher, that the law excites sin? Well, it makes us want to do what it says not to do. Watch this. Anybody ever seen a speed limit sign? 55. Does anybody drive 55? Some of y'all, you got what it calls a fuzz buster. Sets up on your dash. Tells you when the police is around. But now they got gadgets so good, when that thing goes off, it's just telling you when you just got a ticket. And so it ought not be called a fuzz buster, it ought to be called a lawbreaker. Have y'all ever noticed this? Now this got me right here, buddy. I mean, I could just see me, and Brother Felton, I could see you. You ever seen a sign that says, wet paint? I don't believe that sign. Is that really what that sign said? Wet paint. Boy, it excites sin. It makes us want to do what we're not supposed to do. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? We'll put a sign out here. These little old young'uns, they just tickle the far out of me. I put boys on bark control. And lo and behold, the ones I put over bark control is the one that's stirring it up the most. I hear a lot of times I'll be on the porch, and we got the sidewalk poured, and we got that nice sod out there. And so I hear folks say, hey, don't get on the grass. Man, that mom and daddy going to church building, first thing they're going to do is run and jump up in the grass. Boy, not only does the law expose sin and show us just really how we are, but it excites sin. It brings something in us to make us want to do what it says not to do. Thou shalt not lie. Well, let's lie a little. We'll see how it feels. Shall not steal. Let's steal something. Anybody ever stole something, got caught? My goodness. Ain't that an awful thing? I gotta confess to you. When we was little kids, we rode a bicycle everywhere. And then we went frog gigging. Now a lot of y'all don't know what that is, like eating rabbits. But some of you do know what it is. And then we had D-cell flashlights. And me and my little buddy, our flashlights got dim. We was going frog gigging. We didn't have 50 cents to buy no batteries. So he got him busy. And I went to the back, done something I ought not have done. Well, I come to the counter to pay for my bubble gum, my pocket looked like this. And I'll never forget what that old man done. He reached down from that counter and grabbed me and said, "What's in your pocket, boy?" My God. Not what I wish was in my pocket. Boy, ain't it awful to do something? Isn't it amazing how this flesh just loves to get out of bounds? You know, at our job, we're supposed to take break, our lunch break from 12 to 1. Hello, phone's ringing now. Y'all go and pick it up. But the boss is out and you say, well, you know, 1:15, 1:20, you know, we're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock, but 8:15, they won't fire me. I'm still preaching. And so not only does this law expose sin, it excites sin. Makes us want to do what it says not to do. But I want to tell you, the law, it empowers sin. Look in verse 10 and 11 now about this law. It empowers sin. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, the Bible said in Romans 7, verse number 10, "And the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Now, law empowers sin. You see, the law does not reward you for keeping its commandments. And Brother Chris and Brother Chaff, wouldn't that be amazing? I just want to ask y'all something. Has anybody ever been pulled over and given a medal of honor for obeying the speed limit? No, the law brings death. It don't bring reward and gifts. Does that sign that says wet paint don't touch, does it give everybody a reward for not touching? No, it gives no rewards. It only gives penalty and circumstances. I'm glad by the blood of the Lord Jesus and an old rugged cross. I'm glad I can believe in Him tonight by faith and be redeemed by the works of the law, by God's amazing grace tonight. Y'all just keep on living by that law. And you're going to be the most unhappiest people in America. But oh, when you realize what Christ has done. And so, oh wretched man that I am, Paul was devoted to the Lord. And he was disgusted by his life. And he was defeated by the law. But lastly tonight, I want to say that Paul was delighted by a lesson. It's a blessing what this Bible teaches us if somebody does teach it to us. He is delighted by a lesson. First of all, the law's not given to save the sinner. Galatians 2 and verse number 16. Galatians 2 and verse number 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You can't work your way to heaven, friend. You can't mind the laws of God to get to heaven because you can't mind them. Paul was delighted by a lesson. The law is not given to save the sinner, and the law is not given to sanctify the saint. If that was a fact, none of us would be sanctified tonight. You see, Paul had to learn the way to Jesus is not holiness, but the way to holiness is Jesus. Can I say that again tonight? You hear people say, "Oh, do." No, the way to Jesus is not holiness. Mm-mm. Because ain't no way we can be holy without Jesus. The way to Jesus is not holiness, but the way to holiness is Jesus. Two things are true concerning the Christian and the law tonight, and I close. First of all, the Bible teaches Romans 7, verses 1 through 4, the Christian is dead to the law. Something died when I believed in Christ. Romans 7, verse 1, and he talks about a marriage and a divorce. Know ye not, brethren, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? As long as you live, the law is applied to us. For the woman which hath an husband's bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. What? Oh, yeah. You're become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ. That ye should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. All right, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, before we were saved, we were married to the law. And it's miserable being married to something that perfect. The reason some of you are miserable in your marriage is because they're looking for you to be perfect or you're looking for them to be perfect. It's awful to be married to something perfect as the law. Well, won't you do this? Won't you do that? You old mully grub thing, you. Won't you have some grace in your marriage? It's no fun being married to the law. My goodness, every time I see the law, thou shalt not. I can't do nothing. I bet you some of y'all make your husband take shoes off when they go in the house, don't you? Oh, it got quiet. I'll go to preaching a while now. I'd hate to know I worked all day and couldn't live at my house. I mean, you may think I'm a disaster, but honey, I'm at home. Sometimes I love just walk in the bathroom and brush my teeth and put all that toothpaste all over the mirror. Just let somebody know I'm at home. Yeah. I know some of you, you'd make me have a bath cloth behind every stroke of my teeth. Now wipe that down, wipe that down, now wipe that. I'd get tired of living with you. I mean, I'm done tired when I get home. I don't want a bunch of laws and rules. Somebody say amen. Amen.
You're right.
He said, you're married to the law. That's why you're so miserable. You know why I hated church? Because I was married to the law. You know why I hated anything about a Christian life? Because I was married to the law. And that law is unforgiving, friend. But wouldn't it be a blessing if we could be married to grace and learn to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us? Amen. He said, forgive one another for Christ's sake as He's forgiven you. You ought to try some forgiveness instead of law. You ought to thank God He's not going to try us by the law but by grace tonight. Hey, honey, the law ain't going to keep your marriage together. Grace is going to keep your marriage together. You're trying to make your husband be something God never intended him to be. And you're trying to make her be something God didn't make her to be. Well, I know. You say, well, you don't look how you used to, honey. You've gained all that weight since we've been married. What about you there, Romeo? Ain't nobody invited you to be on the Esquire magazine this week. Ain't nobody got you a pin-up place down yonder at the health club. Tell you why your marriage is so miserable, you brought the law in on it. You ought to love each other by grace. Well, she won't hold my hand. Why won't she? Tarzan, why won't she? I mean, you come in from frog gigging and fishing and deer hunting. Come in about 11 o'clock. Well, honey, what's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. She don't know she got a husband. I don't know why my husband won't take me out to dinner like other men's take their wives out. Well, maybe you quit griping all the time, he'd want to do something for you. Can't please you. Why would he want to take you out back? He can't please you at Dairy Queen. Y'all wimpy rascals won't even say amen tonight. mean, some of you just throw the flag down and say, well, what's the use? Because you got the law in on it. Before we were saved, we was married to the law. It's miserable being married to something that's perfect. So there's one way to get out of this law, and that's one way. That's what he said right here, by death. Romans 6, verses 1 through 12. When someone's saved, they die. That's amazing to me. Brother Gerald, this is amazing to me. Something dies, but yet something is alive and something's been brought to life. I've died. Something in me's died, but yet I've still got this old flesh. Look what he says in Romans 6. Boy, I tell you, I've died to the law. The law ain't got no holding on me tonight. I'm in Christ. Romans 6, verses 1 through 12. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, that's the old Baptist cliche. Once saved, always saved. Live like the devil. But that ain't in your Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Is anybody getting anything out of the preaching tonight? Does anybody appreciate what I've studied this evening? Is it helping anybody? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Sound like to me something's died. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man's crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Why? Because he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11. Now, likewise, reckon. That word means calculate. Now, calculate, y'all save yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When you believed and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God came and lived in you. You died. The Bible says you died. I'm glad we died to the law, Brother Lee. You know why I died to the law? Because now there's somebody's took my place. Now I'm in Christ. Not in the law, but I'm in Christ. And so certainly, when someone is saved, they die. Now victory is not found in trying, but it's found in dying. Paul was a trying all this, and he just hadn't realized. You know, he said, it just dawned on me. I died. He said, law ain't got no hold on me no more. He says, when we're saved, we died to our old spouse, the law, but we're touched by our new spouse, the Lord. Now I live a life not ruled by law, but ruled by love. My life is ruled by the indwelling Christ, through whom and by whom I do keep the law. Not only is a Christian dead to the law, but a Christian is delivered from the law. Look in verse 6 of Romans 7. But now we are delivered from the law. You better underline that. Now we are delivered from the law. We ought to run and shout about that tonight. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He said, you know what? He said, You're not ruled by law now. You're ruled by love now. The Christian's delivered from the law. Look what he says. Look how he's delivered. He closes in 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, the solution to the problem tonight of trying to keep the law is to lay it down. And it's to turn from the law to the Lord. Look what Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, a very powerful verse. And I believe God wants you to hear it tonight. Galatians 2 and 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You say, preacher, is the Ten Commandments still not liable? Sure they are. They expose sin. They bring to life sin. I mean, they show us how wicked we are. That's why Jesus hung on a cross. God giving Him the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He said, Ken Bowman, you can't live by the law, son. If you live by the law, you're going to die by the law and you're going to die and go to hell in your sins. But He said, I'm going to make a better way for you. My son's going to die for you. And by grace through faith, Ken Bowman, I give you grace. If you can just have faith enough to reach up and receive what He's done for you, will get you to heaven. He said, I'll save you. In spite of who you are and what you are and where you are and what you've done, He said, the law will condemn you, Ken Bowman. He said, the law will not reward you, Ken Bowman, but grace shall reward you. Paul said, by the faith that I now live, by the Son of God. Sherry, I want you to play something for me tonight, if you would. I want to ask you this question. And this is the perfect analogy that Paul is saying about how to handle these commandments. He said, when you died, you're not married to the law no more. You're married to the Lord. You're the bride of Christ. And you know something, what I've noticed that's a lot easier. And don't y'all laugh now. I'm making an illustration. I'm not saying this to get a laugh. I'm telling you this for an illustration. Before I started loving my wife as Christ has instructed me to love her as He's loved the church, it's not a chore to take out the garbage. I want to take it out, Brother Jerry. You know why? Because I love her. I don't want to put no other gods before me. That's no problem for me. Because I love Him tonight. I want to do everything He's instructed me to do. And that's not a chore. It's not a job. My Lord, what an opportunity to live for Christ. To be in love with somebody that loved me like that. You know, it's easy. It's so easy to do for something for somebody if you really love them. It's not hard for me to come to church. Me and Brother Mike, often we talk through the week. Why is it such a chore for somebody to come to church? I tell you what the problem, it's a love problem. You're trying to live by the law instead of love Christ. And you know what, folks? It takes a lot of maintenance to keep love intact. Have you told Him you loved Him today? I mean, you're so busy trying to do good and do right. Won't you just serve God and love Jesus and let everything take care of itself? You've got a Holy Ghost lives in you to lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost lives in you. You ought not want to be committing adultery. You ought not want to be a drunkard. You ought not want to have no other gods before you. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son. Oh, I'm so glad I died to all that law. I'd be stoned. I'm not under that law no more. I'm under grace. Thank God. Has anybody got that tonight? God, I'm sorry. Brother Michael.
When we mess up, son, they don't take and stone us now and lead us out of the camp. Don't give us another. They don't throw rocks and stone us now. He just simply sort of snuggles us up and says, son, I love you. He said, the only reason I didn't go out there looking for you, he said, I had my eyes on you all the time. I just wanted you to come to yourself. He said, when you come home, I ought to have kicked you, but I kissed you and I showed you compassion. Oh, can we just learn to serve him because we love him. Not because we've got to be bound by laws and handcuffed in shackles, but we live by grace of the darling Lamb of God.